From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
My name is Arturo. I'm from Southeast Chicago.
Dorothy Schwartz, Piscataway, New Jersey.
I'm Cece, and I'm from Brevard, North Carolina.
My name's Noelle. I'm from Philadelphia.
My name is Ann Craig. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina.
My name is Matt Carson from Toledo, Ohio. Here to protest the war. Bring the troops home now.
The estimates range from tens of thousands to half a million. People gathered from around the country in Washington, D.C. to call for an end of war in Iraq. Veterans and military families joined lawmakers, peace groups, celebrities to urge Congress and President Bush to bring the troops home now. House Judiciary Chair John Conyers issued the president a warning.
George Bush has the habit of firing military leaders who tells him the Iraq war is failing. But let me tell you something. He can't fire you. He can't fire us. But we can fire him.
Voices of protest. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Anti-war protests were held around the country Saturday to call for the end of the U.S. war and occupation in Iraq. In Washington, speakers included Congress members and presidential candidate Denis Kucinich.
The president has been saying there is no plan, but I've offered a 12-point plan, and elements of it have been out there for three full years. Our plan is peace. Our plan is to end the occupation. Our plan is to bring the troops home.
United for Peace and Justice estimates a half a million people took part in the demonstration in Washington. The police gave no official estimate. Thousands protested in other cities as well. In Los Angeles, speakers included Marine Sergeant Jason Lemieux, who's served three deployments in Iraq.
It's over. We lost. And it's time to bring the troops home before more of them are killed in an unwinnable, pointless bloodbath. And you're the ones who are going to make that happen.
Another anti-war march is scheduled in Washington for March 17th to mark the fourth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. A day before the protest, Defense Secretary Robert Gates warned Congress not to pass any resolution opposing the escalation of war. He said such a resolution, quote, emboldens the enemy and our adversaries. On Sunday, Democratic Senator Joseph Biden responded to Robert Gates.
American people in the United States Congress are emboldening the enemy. It's the failed policy of this president, going to war without a strategy, going to war prematurely, going to war without enough troops, going to war without enough equipment, and lastly, now sending 17,500 people in the middle of a city of 6.5 million people with bullseyes in their back with no plan.
Senator Joseph Biden speaking on ABC's This Week. U.S. and Iraqi forces say they've killed as many as 300 gunmen in Najaf in what's been described as one of Iraq's deadliest battles in years. The U.S. sent in tanks and aircraft during the 15-hour fight. Two U.S. soldiers died after their helicopter was shot down. Some officials have described the target of the attack as members of the apocalyptic Muslim cult who are planning to disrupt the Shiite holy festival of Ashura. In Baghdad, five Iraqi schoolgirls died Sunday when a mortar shell hit their schoolyard. The girls were all between the ages of 12 and 16. The U.S. Senate has unanimously confirmed Lieutenant General David Petraeus to become the new commander of U.S. forces in Iraq. The vote was 81-0. Petraeus replaces Army General George Casey, who was removed from his post after he opposed the president's plan to escalate the war. Casey has said the addition of troops in Iraq could delay, quote, the development of Iraqi security forces and increase anger at the United States and the Arab world. The Pentagon has admitted it lied about the recent deaths of five U.S. troops in the Iraqi city of Karbala. The military initially said the troops died as they repelled an attack by gunmen disguised as American soldiers. But now the military admits only one soldier died during the initial attack. The four other soldiers were abducted from the base and were later shot to death. The Associated Press described the incident as perhaps the boldest and most sophisticated attack of the war. The gunmen all spoke English, wore U.S. military uniforms, carried American weapons, and drove black GMC Suburban vehicles. Al Jazeera is reporting Turkey's parliament recently went into secret session to debate sending troops to invade and occupy Kurdish-controlled areas of northern Iraq. The Turkish Prime Minister recently said Turkey could not remain indifferent to the plight of the Turkmens and Arabs in Kirkuk. On Sunday, Kirkuk was hit with a pair of car bombings. At least 17 people died and 30 more were injured. Iran has announced plans to expand its economic and military ties with Iraq. In an interview with the New York Times, Iran's ambassador to Iraq said Iran plans to begin training Iraqi forces and opening the first Iraqi branch of an Iranian bank. Meanwhile, President Bush has defended his decision to authorize U.S. forces to kill or capture Iranians found in Iraq.
Well, I made it very clear as the secretary that our policy is going to be to protect our troops in Iraq. This makes sense, that if somebody is trying to harm our troops or stop us from achieving our goal or killing innocent citizens in Iraq, that we will stop them.
President Bush's comments come as Vice President Dick Cheney refused to rule out a U.S. attack on Iran. In an interview with Newsweek, Cheney said, quote, "We haven't taken any options off the table." Cheney also admitted the United States is sending a second aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf in order to send a, quote, "strong signal" to Iran. When the Stennis aircraft carrier arrives in the Persian Gulf next month, the United States will have two carrier groups stationed there for the first time since the 2003 Iraq invasion. The Canadian government has apologized to Maher Arar and agreed to pay him about $9 million. Arar is the Canadian citizen who was seized by U.S. officials during a stopover flight at Kennedy Airport in New York in 2002. He was secretly sent to Syria as part of the Bush administration's so-called Extraordinary Rendition Program. In Syria, Arar was held for almost a year in a grave-like cell. He was tortured. He was released without ever being charged with a crime. Last year, the Canadian government determined Maher Arar was innocent. On Friday, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper issued an official apology to Maher Arar and his family.
On behalf of the government of Canada, I wish to apologize to you, Mania Mazig, and your family for any role Canadian officials may have played in the terrible ordeal that all of you experienced in 2002 and 2003.
Maher Arar said he was proud to be a Canadian, but admitted he's still suffering from the ordeal.
There is no amount of money that will compensate me for what myself and my family have gone through.
Last week, the Bush administration announced it's keeping Maher Arar on a terrorist watch list, despite requests from the Canadian government to remove him. In Israel, at least three people have died after a suicide bomber blew himself up earlier today in a bakery in the southern resort city of Eilat. The attack marked the first suicide bombing in Israel since April and the first ever suicide attack in Eilat. The Palestinian groups Islamic Jihad and Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade both claimed responsibility for the attack. About 30 Palestinians died over the weekend in Gaza and the West Bank in the bloodiest Palestinian infighting since Hamas won power a year ago. On Sunday, officials from Fatah and Hamas agreed to hold peace talks in Mecca. The Bush administration's expected to inform Congress today that Israel may have violated agreements with the United States when it fired U.S.-supplied cluster munitions into civilian areas in southern Lebanon last summer. The New York Times reports officials at the Pentagon and State Department are divided over whether Israel should be sanctioned for its use of the cluster bombs. Israel's already acknowledged it fired thousands of U.S. cluster munitions, but denied violating agreements that prohibit their use in civilian areas. The Russian government is denouncing U.S. plans to set up a missile defense system in Eastern Europe. The Pentagon wants to place 10 interceptor missiles in Poland and a radar tracking system in the Czech Republic. Russia criticized what it described as a substantial reconfiguration of the U.S. military presence in Europe. In Ireland, the political wing of the Irish Republican Army has agreed for the first time to recognize the legitimacy of the police force and criminal justice system in Northern Ireland. The decision overturned a century of opposition to any British policing presence in Ireland. The move by Sinn Féin is expected to put pressure on unionists to enter a power-sharing government. Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams said this marks a new phase of the struggle for the Republican movement.
And the decision we have taken today is truly historic. But its significance will be on how we use this decision to move our struggle forward. Today, you have created the potential to change the political landscape on this island forever. You have created the opportunity to significantly advance our struggle.
Sunday's vote by Sinn Féin came just weeks after the police ombudsman for Northern Ireland revealed that unionist death squads had once operated virtually as surrogates of the police in Northern Ireland. The Housing Authority of New Orleans is asking a prominent attorney to stop speaking to the media and to remove statements he made that appear in several online videos. The attorney, Bill Quigley, has been representing low-income tenants who oppose government plans to demolish four large public housing developments. Quigley denounced the letter as an infringement on his First Amendment rights. The Housing Authority of New Orleans also threatened to haul Quigley in front of the state's Bar Association's disciplinary board if he doesn't agree to stop discussing the case. Quigley has repeatedly criticized Katrina recovery policies. He says, quote, "You might as well put up a sign that says poor people do not enter." In media news, columnist and best-selling author Molly Ivins has been hospitalized again in her ongoing battle with breast cancer. She was first diagnosed with cancer in 1999 and has successfully fought it off several times. Her sister says the cancer's back with a vengeance and has spread throughout her body. Father Robert Drynan has died at the age of 86. In 1970, he ran for Congress on an anti-war platform. He won and became the first Roman Catholic priest to serve in Congress. In 1973, Father Drynan introduced the first resolution to impeach President Nixon. Drynan felt Nixon should be impeached not over the Watergate scandal, but rather over the secret bombing of Cambodia. And in California, about 500 people gathered Saturday for a memorial for the jazz musician and spiritual leader Alice Coltrane, who died earlier this month at the age of 69. The service was held at the Sayananta Ashram, the spiritual retreat where Coltrane had taught and lived for the past 15 years. Alice Coltrane was recently interviewed on Pacifica Radio for a documentary about her husband, John Coltrane.
Music is so wonderful. It's so powerful. Music is utilized for healing. Music makes people forget their pain, their troubles. Music is used in practically every religious service all over the world. Music is utilized in worship of God. But it's a powerful, nearly invisible force that reaches into the hearts of people. Not only the intellect and the intelligence, but to reach into the heart and the spirit. And that's where good is taking place.
The late Alice Coltrane. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Well, the estimates varied from tens of thousands to 500,000 protesters who took to the streets of Washington, D.C. Saturday to call for an end to the war in Iraq. Veterans and military families joined lawmakers, peace groups, celebrities to urge Congress and President Bush to bring the troops home now. Protest organizers United for Peace and Justice estimated 500,000 people took part in the demonstration. In California, smaller rallies were held in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. In D.C., marchers converged on the National Mall for a two-hour rally. The crowd included people who came on 300 buses from 40 states.
My name is Sean. I'm from New York. I represent the Yaya Youth Activist Youth Allies Network. I'm here to support everyone trying to stop the war and to bring the soldiers home.
Hi, my name's Olivia, and I'm from Maryland, and I'm here to support the people in Iraq.
My name's Matt Carson from Toledo, Ohio, here to protest the war, bring the troops home now.
I'm Teddy Fishman. I am from South Carolina, and when South Carolina is against the war, you know that it's gone too far.
My name is Ali Sadr. I'm from Iran, Tehran, Iran. I was born in the U.S. I was raised in Iran, and I left Iran after revolution. And I'm here to protest.
Amanda, I am Spanish people, and then I'm not agree with this war. So I want to say just one thing. Bush, he can send his kids. His two girls he has, right? I want to see how he will feel when he sent over there to Iraq. And then I will see how he feel like a parent.
My name is Pam Canine. I'm from Yellow Springs, Ohio, home of Antioch College. And I am here because I am sick of the lives wasted, the money squandered. It is time to bring our troops home and get down to sensible domestic and foreign policy.
Yes, my name is Kwali Abdul Mohammed. I'm here from Philly. I'm here to represent my family. Two of my fathers, my grandfather and my father, both died in the war. I have a nephew that's there now. I'm giving with support to let the Bush know there's no more war. No more war. No more war.
Among those protesting were a number of lawmakers who opposed President Bush's escalation of the war, calling on the president to bring the troops home. Democratic Congressmember Maxine Waters of California was among them. She'd sent a letter to every other member of the House urging them to participate in the anti-war march. Congressmember Waters is a co-founder of the Out of Iraq Caucus. She addressed the crowd on the National Mall.
You have come here today to save your country, to change the direction of this country, and to tell George Bush, hell no, we won't go. I stand firmly with you. My name is Maxine Waters, and I'm not afraid of George W. Bush. My name is Maxine Waters, and I'm not intimidated by Dick Cheney. My name is Maxine Waters, and I helped to get rid of Rumsfeld. My name is Maxine Waters, and Connie Rice is nothing but another neocon, and she doesn't represent me. George W. Bush led us into this immoral war. He tricked the American people, and he told us there were weapons of mass destruction. He did not tell the truth. He came out on the battleship and said, mission accomplished. He misled us again. He said we were working with the coalition of the willing. It was only a figment of his imagination. He said that we were moving forward with training the Iraqi soldiers who would take over the security. Where are they? They are nowhere. As a matter of fact, they're undermining our soldiers in the civil war. He said we were going to get proceeds from the oil that would be pumped back into Iraq so that it could be reconstructed. As a matter of fact, he told us he made these decisions. He said he is the decider. But you know what? He's not the decider. He is the liar. Yeah. Thank you for being here today. I want you to come to Capitol Hill and lobby on Monday and put some starch in the backs of the members of Congress and give them the courage that they need to do the right thing. It is all right to have some resolutions that are not binding, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and that will come when it's time to decide whether or not we're going to fund this immoral war. I will not vote one dime for this war. And when you come up here to lobby, you ask these members, are you going to support an appropriation to continue this war, to expand this war? And you can tell the difference between those who are ready to bring our soldiers home and those who are only paying lip service. Don't forget, he is not the decider. He is the... He's not the decider. He is the... Bring our troops home.
California Congressmember Maxine Waters was joined by another founder of the Out of Iraq Caucus, Lynn Woolsey. In January 2005, Congressmember Woolsey became the first member of Congress to call for withdrawal from Iraq. She called for an end to the U.S. occupation of Iraq.
Thank all of you. You, your very presence, your passion has taken us this far. And we are not going to stop until we end George Bush's immoral Iraq war. Americans don't want to send our young men and women into the middle of a civil war, a war we shouldn't have been in the first place. We've injured, over the last 4 years that we've endured bloodshed and mayhem, more than 3,000 American lives lost, countless physically and mentally wounded, tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians killed, hundreds of billions of dollars wasted. Our global credibility shattered, terrorists emboldened rather than defeated. We all know it's not about winning or losing. It's about doing the right thing. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this except the president. He asks us to sacrifice more of our tax dollars so he can win in Iraq. You know what they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Fortunately, we have an antidote to this insanity. It's not another Iraq study group. It's not a new committee to debate what to do next. It is what you sent us to do last November. It's called H.R. 508. Its long title is the Bring Our Troops Home and Iraq Sovereignty Restoration Act. And it would end the U.S. occupation in Iraq within 6 months, saving lives and limbs and money and America's standing in the world. H.R. 508 is the only comprehensive legislation that puts us on the fast track to a fully funded military withdrawal from Iraq. Congresswomen Maxine Waters and Barbara Lee and I have introduced H.R. 508 in the Congress, but you are the true authors of this legislation. It is your will that H.R. 508 carries out. So when you go to the Capitol on Monday, when you go to Capitol Hill, and when you contact members of Congress in the coming weeks and months, and they ask you, well, what is your plan? Tell them, pass H.R. 508. When they tell you they are against the war but don't know how to leave, tell them, pass H.R. 508. When they tell you they would like to help you out, but you know the president has all the power, you tell them, pass H.R. 508. Your voices have not gone unheard. They have life in H.R. 508, and I pledge all of my heart and all of my soul to this cause. In the name of national security, fiscal sanity, and common decency, together we will bring our troops home. Thank you.
Congressmember Lynn Woolsey coming up, Sean Penn, Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon, Jane Fonda at the National March on Washington. Stay with us. Yeah. What are you good for? Absolutely nothing.
To me. Oh, whoa. I despise, 'cause it means destruction of this life. War means tears to thousands of mothers' eyes when their sons go out to fight and lose their life. I said, war! Good God, y'all.
What is it good for?
Absolutely. Get sad again. Oh, Lord,
Edwin Starr, War, here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we continue with the National March on Washington, the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, led a delegation to Iraq and Afghanistan. She has said that impeachment is off the table. But that's not the same message that John Conyers shared, the House Judiciary Chair, when he addressed the rally in Washington on Saturday.
Brothers and sisters, I'm so glad you're all here. We've got to hold more of these, just like on Election Day, November 7th, until our government gets the message out of Iraq immediately this year. We gotta go. Hello, Detroit. You came all the way in buses for 10 hours. I hear you. Hello, Code Pink. I hear you. Hello, Institute of Policy Studies. I hear you. But George Bush has the habit of firing military leaders who tells him the Iraq war is failing. But let me tell you something. He can't fire you. He can't fire us. But we can fire him. We can fire him. Maureen Dowd said this morning. Has anyone in the history of the United States ever been so singularly wrong and misguided about such phenomenally important events and continued to insist he's right in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary? Has there ever been anybody in American history? There certainly hasn't. Now, we marched and protested and legislated against segregation, and then against the Vietnam War. Today, we march and protest and legislate against the war in Iraq, and we continue the great tradition of struggle of the people. Today's march is a continuation of the vote on November 7th. The history's clear. When our country's at a moral crossroads, it takes the cries and the outrage of American people to force Washington to do the right thing. That's why we're here. President Bush is the commander-in-chief of the military, but he is not the commander-in-chief of the citizens of this country. He is not. Vice President Cheney has said repeatedly, Congress can't stop me, but we must stop him. We're going to stop him. And so the founders of our country gave the Congress the power of the purse because they envisioned a scenario exactly like the one in which we find ourselves today. Not only is it within our power to stop Bush, it is our obligation to stop Bush. The founders of our country gave the Congress the power of the purse because they envisioned a scenario exactly like the one in which we find ourselves today. Not only is it within our power, but we're going to do it by holding rallies every week, every month, every day, until we stop this illegal, immoral war in Iraq. We've got to do that. And with your help, the people can prevail. We stopped the war in Vietnam, didn't we? With Dr. Martin Luther King, we did the civil rights movement, and with marches, we did it. And we're going to do it again. Thank you for being with us today. All of these members of Congress are with you. Victory.
Congressmember Conyers was joined by veterans, active duty soldiers, military families. This is Iraq War vet Garrett Reppenhagen.
I was a sniper in the 1st Infantry Division. I served 1 year in Iraq. Now I'm home. I'm still serving my country. I'm still serving my brothers and sisters and trying to get them home alive. Iraq Veterans Against the War is the most progressive veteran organization in America right now. We're growing. We're quadrupled in size in the last year. Men and women are coming home and they're pissed off. I listened to the State of the Union address, and in the 50 minutes of rambling, George Bush not once mentioned the word veteran. Woo! Not once. So that leads me to understand that, you know, where the intentions of this administration is. You know, our elected officials is no longer representing us as a majority as a country. When I served in war, I thought I was serving honorably. I thought I was going because our country needed its defense and because there was an injustice in the world that needed to be stopped. Instead, I was sent to war without proper planning, without proper training, without proper equipment, and for causes that have proved fraudulent. We need to put pressure on our elected government and force them to represent us as a country and bring the troops home legitimately. Thank you.
Earlier this month, a group of 50 active duty service members visited Capitol Hill to call for the immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. The soldiers presented a petition known as an appeal for redress, signed over 1,000 troops, mostly enlisted service members. Liam Madden's co-founder of Appeal for Redress. He served in Iraq as a Marine sergeant. He spoke to the crowd.
No justice! More war! More death! No peace! More imperialism! No peace! We come here today on behalf of 1,223 active duty members of the United States military, reserve members, National Guard members, who are using their constitutional rights to speak out against this war, an imperialist war, a war for profit, not for people, a war for death, not for people, a war against the working class, not for justice. We thank you. I'm going to be very short, but a couple of things I want to say. Number one, this is a very great turnout that we have. And we have to continue to build this mass movement. We have to understand that this current war is going to continue. Many people who are here are veterans of the GI movement from the Vietnam War. And the reason why they're here back again 35, 40 years later is because we got to keep the mass movement going no matter who's in office, a Democrat, a Republican. We got to keep the mass movement going against the system. It's a systematic war. All right, finally, I'm going to end with a chant. All right, I want y'all to say it with me, okay? When I say racism means, you say got to fight back. Racism means we got to fight back. Racism means we got to fight back. All war means we got to fight back. Imperialism means
we got to fight back.
Imperialism means
we got to fight back.
Iraq war means
we got to fight back.
Occupation means
we got to fight back.
No justice, no peace.
That was Navy Seaman Jonathan Hutto, who together with Liam Madden was co-founder of the Appeal for Redress. The families of soldiers also spoke out. Brenda Hervey's stepson, Michael, was injured while in Iraq. This is Brenda Hervey.
My name is Brenda Hervey. I'm a member of Military Family Speak Out from Sioux City, Iowa. On November 2nd, 2006, my stepson, Michael, was seriously injured when an IED exploded near his Bradley vehicle in Al Anbar Province, Iraq. He was on his second deployment, serving on stop-loss orders. In November, the American people made clear their overwhelming opposition to the war in Iraq. But the question remains, will the newly elected Congress take swift and firm action, or will President Bush be allowed to continue the occupation unchecked? In February 2007, the appropriations bill will come before Congress seeking $100 billion to continue this war. We need our senators and members of Congress to understand you cannot both oppose and fund this war. Yeah. My stepson is now recovering in Germany. but because of George Bush's escalation, he may have to go back to Iraq if his unit's extended. The most supportive thing Congress can do now for my son, our troops, and the people of Iraq is to stop funding this war. I'm proud to join over 3,200 military family speak out members across the country when I say, not one more dime, not one more day, not one more life, not one more lie. End the occupation, defund the war, bring our troops home now, and take care of them when they get here.
Military mother Brenda Hervey was joined by Bob Watata, the father of First Lieutenant Aaron Watata. Watata is the first commissioned officer to refuse to go to Iraq. Last week, a military judge ruled he cannot present evidence challenging the war's legality nor explain what motivated him to resist his deployment order. His court-martial is scheduled for next week. Lieutenant Watata faces 6 years in prison. His father, Bob Watata, addressed the crowd.
Aloha, my dear enlightened friends. I am so honored to be here with you today. Today, we must challenge ourselves to take this great nation back to the democracy that our great leaders once envisioned. This is our country. Let's hear it. This is our country. You and I will not let this country slide back to our barbarian ancestors, the barbarians that lived to plunder, torture, rape, and murder innocent people for their bounty. We are a civilized nation. We need to bring an end to blood oil. We need to bring an end to the training of our children to massacre the villages of Iraq for Halliburton's oil. My son, Lieutenant Aaron Watata, as a proud, patriotic American soldier, has stood up to say, enough is enough. And we have to say, enough is enough. We have to say to Congress, enough is enough. Because he refused to lead his men into the massacre of innocent men, women, and children, and lead his men to their own deaths for corporate greed, the military commanders want to punish him, and punish him harshly for speaking out and saying that the emperor has no clothes. Lieutenant Watata spoke out and said that the president has been deceptive and that there are atrocities going on in Iraq. These are the words of truth. Well, the government finds these words offensive and wants to put him into prison for saying the truth. The truth is a danger to the Bush Empire. In 2003, Bush said there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Liar! That there are chemical and biological weapons in Iraq. Liar! We know, in fact, that there are al-Qaeda training facilities in Iraq. All lies. In 2004, Bush said, the way to make this a safer world is to democratize Iraq. A lie. In 2005, Bush said, we are winning this war. In 2000, Bush said, we have to stabilize the sectarian violence. In 2007, Bush said, we can still win this war with 20,000 more troops. Did you read his lips? The Army wants to make my son a political prisoner. A political prisoner in a country, not unlike the dictatorships that we condemn in other countries. Okay. My son seeks to give a voice to the thousands of our young sons and daughters who no longer have a voice. He seeks to give a voice to the hundreds and thousands of innocent men, women, and children of Iraq who no longer have a voice. He seeks to give a voice to the thousands of soldiers who have come back physically and mentally disabled for life. Please tell Congress that they have to share my son's voice. My friends, We have to make a compact to support what my son stands up for, the Constitution of the United States and the democracy. Most importantly, we must tell our leaders in Congress that people, you and I, are more important than corporate profits. Stand up so they can see us. Tell them that this is our country. I close with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men. Please tell Congress.
Bob Watata, the father of First Lieutenant Aaron Watata. Jesslyn Raddick was an attorney in the Justice Department's Professional Responsibility Advisory Office during the case against John Walker Lynn. She also spoke.
I am the whistleblower in the case of the so-called American Taliban, John Walker Lind. The first person prosecuted in the war on terrorism and an American citizen. I was the ethics advisor at the Justice Department who advised the government to allow him his lawyer. When my advice was disregarded and disappeared, I blew the whistle. For that, I was forced out of the Justice Department, fired from my next job at the government's behest, referred to the state bars in which I am licensed as an attorney, placed under criminal investigation, and like many of you here, shared the dubious distinction of being on the no-fly list. My name is Jesslyn Raddick, and this is what happens when you trade freedom for fear, confuse dissent with disloyalty, and replace democracy with despotism. When it comes to the Iraq war, we don't need to increase. We need to impeach. We don't need a surge. We need some common sense. In responding to terrorism, we cannot trample on the very freedoms for which we are fighting. Public servants and soldiers should not have to choose their conscience over their career. Thank you.
Former State Department Attorney Jesslyn Raddick. When we come back, Hollywood speaks. Stay with us. A chance here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman as we return to the march in Washington. Hollywood was represented. Actors Jane Fonda, Tim Robbins, and Susan Sarandon spoke. First, Sean Penn.
What's Hollywood doing here today? We're here because it's our job, just like it's yours. We're Americans, and our fellow Americans are dying as we're standing here today. We are dependent on our Congress, but our Congress is dependent on us, and we're going to come out here in these numbers and in doubled numbers. And we're going to send our Congress this message. We've heard the excuse, if I had known then what I know now. Well, we're here to tell them now what they have to know in 2008. And if they don't stand up and make a resolution as binding as the death toll, We're not going to be behind those politicians. We're here, and we're going to be in local districts, and we're going to push this until this resolution is binding, the money stops, and the troops come home.
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here today. So many of you, so many of today's speakers, including my fellow actors up here, were here at the very beginning, before we went into Iraq, because you knew and they knew what was in store.
Jane Fonda.
Thank you so much for the courage to stand up against this mean-spirited, vengeful administration. Your actions are proof that the most precious part of this country, its soul, is alive and well. So thank you. Your ongoing commitment to ending this war allows people in other parts of the world to remain hopeful that America has the stuff to become again a country that they can love and respect. Thank you. I especially want to thank and acknowledge the servicemen and women and the military families and Gold Star mothers that are here. A lot of press people have been asking me today, what's the difference between now and during the Vietnam War? And I'll tell you one huge, crucial difference. It took 6 years for Vietnam veterans, active duty servicemen, Gold Star mothers, and military families to come out against the war. It has happened now within 3 years of the war. Their presence here is critical, and we should acknowledge their courage. Woo! I haven't spoken at an anti-war rally in 34 years. Because I've been afraid that because of the lies that have been and continued to be spread about me in that war, that they would be used to hurt this new anti-war movement. But silence is no longer an option. My daughter, who is here with me today, come here. She was a little girl when she would come with me to the anti-Vietnam War protests. She's here today with her two little children, my grandchildren. I'm very proud that they're here, but I'm so sad that we still have to do this, that we did not learn the lessons from the Vietnam War. That we've made the same mistakes, blindness to the realities on the ground, hubris and arrogance in dealing with a people and culture far older than we are, and that we understand so little, carelessness and thoughtlessness in our approach to rebuilding a country we've destroyed. Allowing billions of dollars to be stolen, squandered at the hands of private contractors, just as this administration has done in our own Gulf in the post-Katrina era. So thank you for being here, and we'll continue to be here for as long as necessary. God bless.
Susan Sarandon.
Imagine you are in constant danger from hidden roadside bombs and exposed to ambushes and sniper fire. Imagine that your home is constantly harassed with mortar explosions and rocket attacks while you try to sleep. Imagine you witness your closest friend being torn apart by enemy fire. Imagine you discover that the person you thought was an insurgent that you killed turns out to be an innocent child or someone who looks similar to your mother. Now imagine you lost a limb. You lost your eyesight. You lost a friend. You lost your sanity and you lost your innocence for an unappreciative society and an unconcerned elected government. This is the testimony of Garrett Reppenhagen, who spoke earlier, Cavalry Scout and Sniper in the U.S. Army 1st Division from 2004 to 2005. He continues, I didn't expect to come home to find there's no plan for addressing the needs of veterans like myself. I don't understand how, despite being in the middle of not one but two wars, our government is actually scaling back on services that are critical for men and women trying to re-enter civilian society. Here are some staggering facts. 1 in 3 homeless Americans are military vets, and that is rising. 1 in 4 vets with PTSD sought medical care from the VA, where they experience a 2 to 3 month wait to see a doctor. Over 53,000 are wounded. The ratio of doctors to patients is 1 doctor for every 500 patients. Veteran males aged 20 to 24 have twice the unemployment rate. 40% of troops currently being rotated are National Guard or reservists. 95% of them are experiencing problems getting their pay. Many are being sent back, are on potent antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs with little or no counseling or supervision or screening. Over 200 have committed suicide. There's a 70% divorce rate for returning soldiers. This GOP plan for 2007 drops $65 billion in benefits over the next 5 years. There was not a mention of this crisis in the State of the Union address, as if the war only exists over there and not here. And there was not an ounce of criticism from any of our presidential hopefuls. I say to those who tell me that we are fighting this war over there so that it doesn't come here, listen to the sons and daughters who are returning and their families, and you will know that the war is being fought here in the hearts and minds and bodies of those that are returning and have already sacrificed so much. Shame on you. We are here today to say it is time to remove the burden of the political crisis of the Iraq War from our soldiers and commit to caring for a new generation of Americans who are grieving, severely wounded, and mentally troubled. Thank you.
Susan Sarandon, then Tim Robbins.
I don't know if you heard, the most recent news just came over the wire. Karl Rove has been subpoenaed. Some have said recently that impeachment is off the table. What was that? On the train coming down here today, I talked to a young woman whose brother has just been deployed. Due to the recent Bush escalation, her brother is being rushed into action. Instead of the proper 12-week training period, this young 20-year-old serviceman will hit the ground in a hostile land with 2 weeks training. Is impeachment still off the table? No! This past November, the American people sent a resounding message to Washington, D.C. and the world. We want change. We want this war to end. And how did Bush respond? 21,500 more will risk their lives for his misguided war. Is impeachment impeachment still off the table? No! Let's get him out of office. Let's get him out of office before. Let's get him out of office before he starts ruling from a bunker. Let's get him out of office before the only one on his side is his dog, Barney. Nixon, Richard Nixon, talked to the walls. Bush is talking to God, but it's not a God I recognize. This God seems to be giving George a pass on some of his major commandments. This God seems to be okay with lying or bearing witness, as he puts it, against the U.S. Congress, against the United States people, against the world. Bearing false witness on weapons of mass destruction, bearing false witness on nuclear capability, bearing false witness on the imminent threat of Saddam, bearing false witness on the links between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. This God seems to be giving George a pass on stealing the resources of the Iraqi people, on squandering the hard-earned tax dollars of United States citizens for an unnecessary war. Money that could be used to intelligently fight against terrorism is squandered in a way and in a war that creates more terrorists. Money that could be helping the elderly, the poor, the infirm here at home is instead lining the pockets of war profiteers from Halliburton and private mercenary militias like Blackwater. But George's God says that's cool, George. His God tells him to honor his father and mother. But when his father tells him not to occupy Iraq, George's God counsels him to ignore his father. Well, I think we have a different understanding of those commandments here. And let's not forget that most important one, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill or recklessly risk the lives of our brave men and women overseas. Over 3,000 dead, over 50,000 wounded. Thou shalt not kill or needlessly risk the lives of Iraqi civilians. How many? 50,000? 200,000? 400,000? 650,000? Only God knows, George. Only God knows.
Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon, Jane Fonda, and Sean Penn. And that does it for today's broadcast. If you'd like a copy, go to our website at democracynow.org. Special thanks to John Hamilton and Maddie Harper. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkshire, Hobdo Kadush, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yuba Rich, and Aaron Matei, Lee Burek, Jen Yutz, Anna Nagera, Anuradha Bhagwati, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nagera, and welcome back to Nick Marsilio. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.